Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another incredible day across Scottish football. Martin O'Neill is back at Celtic again. He's targeting January signings and a title challenge. They could, of course, be 3 points behind Rangers tonight if they beat Aberdeen at Ibrox. And Neil McCann is the new manager of Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan. And joining me tonight, you have David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Gordon DL.
Yeah, as you said there at the top of the show, Gordon, not a dull moment in Scottish football, especially at this moment in time. And especially with managers, usually we're talking about signings coming in. We're talking about new players. The January transfer's all about new managers come in the door. Obviously, Kilmarnock making that appointment today. Celtic with Martin O'Neill back. I am sure every Celtic fan is delighted with that announcement. And Rangers, massive game tonight, can get into second place. Would you have said that 2 months ago?
You certainly wouldn't. Martin O'Neill, I thought he spoke very well today. Gordon, he spoke about it being a three-way fight for the Premiership title, but I think he might be Motherwell's biggest fan. I know I'm sitting in between two of them here, but he kept talking Motherwell up as potential title contenders. But no, interesting to see him back. And I think it's clear that the focus at Celtic now is getting bodies in the door. Martin Hill spoke about how difficult it's going to be to win this title, and Rangers certainly have a chance to go ahead of Celtic tonight.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Get in touch and let us know what you are thinking this evening. Celtic fans, if it was surreal to see Martin O'Neill back at Lennox Town with the tracksuit on doing press conferences a couple of months ago, what about the fact that he's back again? Can this get any more bizarre this season across Scottish football? You've had time now. Things have moved pretty quickly. Wilfried Nancy only relieved of his duties yesterday, and Martin O'Neill back in front of the media today. So maybe the dust is settling a little bit on that story. What do you make of it? How will you look back on the Wilfried Nancy era? How confident are you Martin O'Neill can restore the good times? Or does he still have a challenge on his hands? How critical is January? How do you feel about the title chances and all the rest of it? Everything that goes along. Paul Tisdale's gone. Martin O'Neill revealing today Sean Maloney is sort of in charge, if you like, of player recruitment during this January window. All your thoughts, please, right now. 0141 951 1025. And you Rangers fans, you will in many ways have been relaxing and enjoying the chaos, but I think it was John Souter at the weekend that said the Old Firm win means nothing if you can't follow up at home to Aberdeen this evening. So are you heading along to Ibrox? I know it's a miserable night and all the rest of it, but I do wonder if there'll be a bit of a special atmosphere in the air, knowing that you've pulled level already, knowing that a win tonight can see you move into second place, 3 points clear of Celtic. What are you expecting tonight, Rangers fans? We'd love to hear from you. Are you surprised? 6th of January, you've not made any signings yet? Because again, I know it was good at the weekend, but surely no one thinks this Rangers squad is done and dusted and doesn't need any help in January. So what are you expecting over the coming days? Kilmarnock fans, Neil McCann is your new manager. Are you happy or are you not? Let us know there. And game off tonight in the Premiership between Livingston and St Mirren as well. And if that's not enough, there's still a managerial vacancy at Aberdeen. I need to find new ways of saying it, David Friel, because everybody just keeps sort of rolling their eyes and going, oh, it's a mad season this is. But I mean, seriously, see if you were to stop and give yourself proper time for reflection to take in everything that's happened between August and Tuesday the 6th of January. It is unbelievable.
We would be here all night. We genuinely would. And Martin O'Neill's return is just the sort of latest episode. And it was interesting, Gordon, because I think he said today that he'd a team meeting with the Celtic players this morning at 10:30. I'm sure some of the listeners will have seen Men in Black, and I just wonder how they just come out with the little thing they've got and just told them, press the button and told them to forget the last 33 days ever even happened. It's been incredible to see, and I think what we've got now is a really exciting end to the season. You know, 20 games in for the top three, you've got Motherwell, Hibs not too far behind as well. It becomes basically an 18 game season now. Who can hold a nerve? Who can come out the transfer window stronger? And who can triumph over the coming months? As you said, the first 5-6 months of the season have been absolutely crazy, but I think there's more drama to come.
This has been incredible, absolutely incredible. You look at the top teams like, excuse me, Celtic, Rangers changing their manager. Celtic have had Brendan Rodgers, Martin O'Neill, Wilfred Nancy, Brendan Rodgers, Rangers obviously disaster with Russell Martin. They're happy with their manager just now. Aberdeen looking for a manager. Kilmarnock appointing a manager today. It just shows you this management game isn't for everybody, is it? But it's exciting for the league. And you look at that, the top of the table there. And Martin O'Neill's quite right to mention Motherwell. I would put Motherwell in the bracket of probably the best footballing team in the league by a country mile. Don't write them out. I know a lot of people have written them off. Don't, because you look at a team that's, what, 6-7 clean sheets at home? Mm-hmm. They're really playing very well indeed, but you look above there, you've got Rangers, Celtic and Hearts. This is the first time I'd probably say anybody's title out of three or four.
Unbelievable times in Scottish football. 01419511025. Give us the latest on what you're feeling on any of those topics or anything else you think we've missed. We don't think we even really discussed Aberdeen's vacancy last night. There's just so much happening every day, and a big game tonight as well. So before the calls start coming in, and we'll line some up just now, let's go to Ibrox and set the scene with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, good evening from Ibrox. For after that statement win, as Danny Roll described it, against Celtic on Saturday, it's now time for Rangers to see if they can start putting some pressure on. A win tonight, as you guys mentioned, it will move them up to second, 3 points ahead of Celtic and just 3 points behind league leaders Hearts. It's a position that seemed pretty impossible a few months ago after winning just one of their opening 8 Premiership matches this campaign. But another win tonight would confirm they are right in the mix in this Premiership title race. Up against an Aberdeen side to begin life after Jimmy Tilleen, he'll of course go down in history at Pittodrie for that Scottish Cup win, but their league form over 2025 really left bosses at Pittodrie with no other choice in the bottom half. It's Peter Leaven in the dugout tonight for another interim spell, and it'll be sporting director Lutz Fahnensteel leading their search for Tilleen's replacement. And it'll be interesting to see what changes Peter Leaven decides to make to his team tonight, and also if Danny Rowe's tempted to make any changes of his own. Will captain James Tavernier come back in? Has Mohamed Diamande played his way back into the starting lineup? And is Yusuf Tchermiti now Rangers' undisputed number 9 after those 2 goals at Celtic Park? Although you'd imagine Bojan Majovski would love his chance up against his former team tonight. You can deliberate those for the next wee while, and I'll get you the team news as soon as I get it.
Talk about incentive, Gordon Dale. Mm-hmm. The chance to go second place, 3 points clear of Celtic, which would be, in normal circumstances, not really anything to celebrate. But given where Rangers were obviously a couple of months ago, a real welcome sight if they can get it over the line in the eyes of the Rangers fans.
It's absolutely incredible, and I think all credit must go to the manager. He's working with the same squad of players that Russell Martin brought in. He's got a tune out them. Look, there's times when it's not been pretty, of course, and I think everybody recognises that. But the one thing the manager came in and said, he didn't talk about fancy styles and tactics and formations. He spoke about winning football games. And he's winning football games. And what an opportunity tonight at home against an Aberdeen team who obviously are that poor that they had to get rid of their manager. They're at home tonight. They've come off that great result against Celtic. Terrific second half. Not the first. Terrific second half. What an opportunity to go second. We would never have been sitting here. If you'd have said that a couple of months ago, you'd be sitting going, oh, that's a massive ask. All of a sudden, this manager's got Rangers fans believing in this title this season.
Rangers fans, if you're on your way to the game, we'd love to hear from you. How are you feeling? How confident are you? Is there that doomsday scenario that creeps in the back of your head a bit and you think you could undo all the good work you did with getting the win at the weekend? Or is this team a bit different these days? Aberdeen not in great form either, of course, and they've sacked their manager. So it is all happening. William is in touch, first of all. William's in Motherwell this evening. How's it going?
Hi, Gordon. How are you getting on?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I know, bad. Hello, lads. How are you doing?
Hi, Bob.
Hi, William.
My first point is basically to say that I'm absolutely delighted that Martin O'Neill's back. And in my view, the guy should never have been allowed to leave in the first place. But my main point is, when will the chief executive leave? Because he was part of the team that selected Wilfred Nancy to come and be the Celtic manager. Now, over the other side of the city, the Rangers owner, he done the right thing. He got shot at the chief executive and others when Russell Martin was dismissed. Why is our chief executive not following that pattern? That's all I want to know, because in any business, the chief executive is the main person. And if the business is failing, which Celtic have done over the last 8 games, then the chief executive has to take the hit. And in my opinion, he should leave.
Are we not to assume, William, that Paul Tisdale had a big influence in bringing Wilfred Nancy in, and that's why he exited along with the manager?
As far as I'm led to believe, he identified Wilfred Nancy. But again, he didn't have the power or the authority to actually bring him in as a Celtic manager. That would have been the board, and that includes the chief executive.
It includes the chief executive, it includes a lot of people, Gordon, to be perfectly honest with you. I think you're right, Paul Tisdale certainly identified Wilfred Nancy as his preferred candidate, obviously with the links to Kwame Ampadu, who's number two. But let's be honest, there's only one man that picks a Celtic manager, and that's Dermot Desmond. So Dermot Desmond has final say.
So he's looking at, he won't sack himself.
He won't
presumably
sack himself. So I get William's point in terms of what's happened to other clubs, and I would dare say everyone in the Celtic executive team right now is under a lot of pressure because of what happened with Wilfred Nancy. But if it's coming down to the one man that picked the manager, ultimately it's Dermot Desmond.
Because I mean, William, obviously you want it to go further, but all of a sudden there is quite a bit of change, isn't there? I know that Peter Lawwell left for different reasons, but the chairman's gone, head of football operations gone, manager's gone. So all of a sudden there's quite a bit of change there at Celtic in the hierarchy.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it's good to hear, you know, and I really hope that Martin O'Neill does really well. You know, I mean, he's got a bit of a job in his hands to try and get this team of players to get a tune at them, and obviously if he gets a chance to buy some more players to bring them in, that's great. But I have no doubt that Martin O'Neill will do a good job. I have no doubt of that whatsoever, because, and the good thing about it as well, there will not be a Celtic fan out there that doesn't want Martin O'Neill to have the job. You know, but the other thing that what they should be doing is they should be now seriously looking at a full-time manager when Martin O'Neill's time is up, you know, and to make the right choice, you know, bringing somebody in who's a winner, somebody who's won things, somebody who knows exactly what it's like to manage in Scottish football or even British football. But I still think that the chief executive should take some of the blame for the appointment of Wilfred Nancy.
Do you think Martin O'Neill will do a title winning job, William?
Yes, I do. I think I've probably, it's not a thing to say, but I think losing to Rangers on Saturday has made a difference to Celtic, because if we had a win against Rangers on Saturday, Wilfred Nancy would still have been there.
I love it when we do that kind of those gymnastics, because then that leads you to ask, would Rangers fans have preferred to not win at the weekend so that Wilfred Nancy stays?
Yeah,
these are the types of questions you've got to ask yourself.
I had the same scenario with Russell Martin, with the Rangers fans who were going, well, we hope they get beat so we can get rid of Russell Martin, and you hear that there. Look, it was the wrong appointment, and I think after a few games a lot of people started having that opinion, Gordon. It's okay. Look, there's nothing worse than a manager coming in, 8 games, he's into the country, he's never managed, he doesn't know that big a deal about Celtic, great deal about Celtic as a club. He's obviously done his research, of course, but he just got caught up in the wrong movie for me, unfortunately. That happens. Now, Martin and Ailes come in there, the Celtic fans are loving that. I think it's now time, if you're a Celtic fan, just to say, right, OK, let's see what January brings, who we bring in. Let's go and support Martin and Ailes and the backroom staff and see if they can go over a line here. Because let's not be kidding, Celtic for once in a long, long time, and a real title challenge here, because you don't rule out Hearts as well, because I think they'll strengthen well in the transfer window. Rangers are just momentum. They'll strengthen as well. And I keep saying it, if Motherwell just can keep doing what they're doing, they'll put a lot of pressure. They might not win it, but they'll have a big, big say in it.
That was really brave of you, not wanting to rule out Hearts when they're 6 points clear at the top.
No, that was a big shout from you. No, the reason I'm saying that is because I think
everybody, the Celtic Rangers thing, I know.
Yeah, you look at Nanu Rule, what his job he's doing, his chance to go second. Celtic are excited. Martin O'Neill's coming back. Transfer windows open. We sometimes tend to forget about Hearts because we're all sitting here thinking, they'll pressure will get to them, they'll fall away. We're into January, they're still sitting up there.
David Freeland, your role at the Scottish Sun and others, you have covered Celtic as close as anyone over the last many years. Just to sum up what the last couple of days from your point of view.
Yeah, it's just been crazy, Gordon, and I felt well for an answer. I mean, I heard bits of the show last night and it was really asking callers, you know, when did you start having fears? I was very early on, I started to think this guy is not in the right movie. And I think probably after the Motherwell game last week, I was amazed they actually survived that. And I know that would have been a big call to make such a change before Celtic played Rangers, but I think it was clear that in terms of tactics, in terms of approach, in terms of mindset towards the game, a lot of these post-match comments, and then you always start hearing whispers about how things are behind the scenes and whether, you know, if he's making an impact on the players, etc., etc. None of it was good. And I think Celtic eventually were just,
so just
left.
Because listen, you're right, lots of rumour, lots of speculation. The results spoke for themselves. Yeah. But your understanding is behind the scenes that this was not good.
It wasn't. I think I've probably said it before on here. I don't think you can underestimate the level of coaches that Celtic players have been used to. You know, if you even just look at the last couple, you've got Ange Postecoglou, Brendan Rodgers, but John Kennedy was so big for Celtic. He's a very good coach. I know it kind of divides opinion among the Celtic fans, but speak to anybody, Cal McGregor, Kieran Tierney, John Kennedy is an elite coach. And I think from what I can gather, that the new regime weren't hitting those heights. Now, the Celtic players have to take responsibility for some of the results, etc., etc. Of course they do. But I think if you just bring it down to basics, I don't think Celtic put a coaching staff in place that was good enough to lead the club forward. And obviously everybody sees the results and everything, but I think behind the scenes there was deeper issues.
Michael's on the other line. How are you feeling about it all, Michael?
Absolutely fantastic. You can tell all the Celtic supporters are there, have got big beams in their faces walking about. It had to happen. I mean, I feel sorry for Wilfred Nancy, but to use the old cliche everybody's been using about 1,000 times, it was in the wrong movie. But now, we welcome the challenge. It's going to be fantastic from the end of the season. Even Rangers supporters I've spoke to, they're all looking forward to it. Every game's a cup final. I mean, years ago, say Celtic, we had about 10 games to go, the league was won. Folk were walking out the park with half an hour to go, bored. But see, now this is going to be brilliant. You can have Celtic, Hearts, Rangers, Motherwell, throw them in there. All these games and you don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be brilliant, you know what I mean? I still think Celtic will do it. Celtic first, Rangers second, Hearts third. That was my prediction at the start of the year before all the Wilfred Nancy rating off, but we caught it just in time. If we'd have left it any longer, I would have been worried. But and I think the first player we should go for is the boy for Hibs. Kieran Boy. If people say he's not prolific enough, I think a good Celtic team would score a right few. That's my point, panel, and good evening to you all.
Same to you, Michael. What do you think this has done for the title race, Gordon? Because they're not getting away from it. We're in this situation because damage has been done to Celtic. That's the whole point. Martin O'Neill, what was the best scenario left with? Did they go level on Hearts?
He left Celtic when they were level and they had a game in hand.
And they're 6 points behind. And they don't have a game in hand over Hearts anymore. I mean, it speaks for itself.
What it's done is quite simple. If Celtic have stood by Wilfred Nancy, then they wouldn't win the title race because there's absolutely no chance that this team would have went on and won the title. And then a title race? Yeah, I think as I pointed out, I think three or four are certainly there.
Who's your favourites now?
I would like to call that in when the window closes, because I think it's so important.
I'll allow it on this one occasion.
It's so important, Gordon, because you're looking at 3-4 teams up there that you wouldn't put your last penny on it. And you're even looking down at an informed Hibs just now. You know, there's a case to say for everyone. We always look at the big two. But I'm loving the fact that Hearts are there. I'm loving the fact that Motherwell are up there. I know a lot of people won't be confident in that shout. I'm probably, they're the biggest underdogs for me, I've got to say, but they're a brilliant team. But see, for Scottish football, this is the best it's been for a long while.
Right, keep the calls coming then, whether it is Martin O'Neill, Wilfried Nancy, Celtic situation, or the big game at Ibrox, or Aberdeen's vacancy, or something else, because there are so many topics out there. It's hard to keep up. Give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I can't believe I'm saying this again this season. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill on the show. It was mad enough the first time he returned. Back again, Gordon Dale and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here. You're welcome to get your calls in right now and react to this, these thoughts from the Celtic manager on his dramatic return.
I have to say, just every bit as strange as it was in the first time. I think if ever you need it proof of anything, we're in the results business, you have to win some football matches, you know. In one aspect, really nice to be back. I mean, other ones, I genuinely do feel for a manager who has had little time to get his feet under the table, I suppose, put his plans across and things like that, you know. So, it happens. But I'm here now, so I'm going to see if I can. I'll do my best. I wonder whether I would have the capacity to go and carry on. And also, I'm 112 next birthday, so I think time is kind of running out for me. Would I be, I'd like to try and do well in it, and I think that, who knows what the board might think, but I would not be, and I'm serious about this, I wouldn't be thinking any longer than the end of the season for me, regardless of what happens.
From the horse's mouth, is that the way you see it, David? No way beyond, you can never say never in this mad footballing world. Is it to the end of the season and that's it?
I would never say that, because we'll need to see how this season pans out, and we've just spoke about title race and title favourites and everything. If Martin O'Neill leads Celtic to the title, there could be a clamour from outside to get him to stay. He might feel he's got the energy, especially if he's got younger coaches around him. I think Celtic just, what his appointment's done to the end of the season is given clarity to the end of the season, but it's also bought them some time to think bigger picture, and they need time. I think it was William, the first caller, was talking about those in charge and those running. I think Celtic do need to take this moment after the transfer window's out of the way to really think about the long-term strategy and fill key positions and all that sort of stuff. But what Martin O'Neill has done is just give them that time, that bit of breathing space, and I think he'll bring confidence back to the players, and I do think he'll get an upturn in fortunes. But I thought it was interesting today, because even I heard from that clip, Gordon, there's still that sort of kind of humour in there, but I think it was also mixed with a bit of seriousness, and I think he knows how important the next 25 days are going to be in terms of getting new recruits in, because Celtic need reinforcements, and it's not just squad players they need starting players, especially in the striking position. You know, we're January 5th or 6th today. I can't believe Celtic still haven't signed a striker. I think he'll be saying, as a matter of urgency, possibly for this weekend, he needs a number 9 in, because Celtic are so light in that area, and as Wilfried Nancy showed, that can be the difference between wins and not.
But is this part of the difficulty, Gordon, because were plans in place to recruit for Wilfried Nancy? Were plans in place to recruit for his 3-4-3? Was Paul Tisdale involved? If not, when was he sidelined with a view to getting rid of him? Martin O'Neill says Sean Maloney's been working on it. So in that regard, maybe it's not that surprising that we've got to January 6th and there's not a starting striker in.
No, and I think,
but it's not ideal though, I should say.
No, but I think it's good news for Celtic, because you're right, they could have easily, because of the last transfer window, panicked and said, look, we'll need to please the fans here, and went early with the new manager with a 3-4-3. Martin O'Neill will probably start with a 4 at the weekend. I do agree. I think they'll certainly be working very hard behind the scenes to get a centre forward.
Stephen is on the line. How are you, Stephen?
I'm fine, Gordon. How's yourself?
All good. All good here.
Hi, Stephen.
What have you got for us?
Right. I'm absolutely delighted that Martin and Sean Maloney are back at the club.
I spoke way back briefly to my pals, and when Robert Nancy's name was announced to come in and take over Martin, I said, it's going to be a disaster. I looked at Robert Nancy's record at Columbus Crew, and now Columbus Crew, they don't have to win every match. They can lose a few, but there's no pressure. So Wilfred Nancy came into our club, you know, bringing his staff. It was a massive disaster. Wilfred Nancy was pals with Paul Tisdale. This is where this established. This is where this friendship established from. Now, Paul Tisdale's record is not very good, you know, as a football director. But I'm just saying, he's been sacked from numerous clubs, you know. I know he's probably got, I mean, whatever football knowledge he's got, you know, but he sold it on to Desmond. That's how he got into Celtic. Now, I would say as the board members, some need to be replaced. We've got bankers, we've got accountants. We need Celtic-minded heads at that board that support the criteria of our club, that know the ins and outs of how our club is run. That is first and foremost. There needs to be a big shake-up in board members.
Where does Celtic-minded, though, Stephen? Because I'm sure you can accuse members of the board of a lot of failings, yeah, but they're Celtic-minded. Lots of them are Celtic-minded. They don't need more than that.
I can understand where you're coming from, but they need to support the criteria of our club.
What do you make, David, of the
club? And when I say it's a criteria, there needs to be more input on the youth development structure.
See, the thing about that is that's not wrong. The problem, and Rangers find themselves in this as well, and I know for a fact this is the kind of thought at Rangers as well at the moment. Of course that stuff's important. See, right now you need to get your first team winning. Your men's first team needs to win football matches, and see the rest, in time it can be taken care of. Because look, the sack the board stuff's not going to go away, is it? That's not done.
No.
The Paul Tisdale removal, how satisfactory is that in terms of, you know, accountability? Stephen's wanting sort of, you know, other change.
I think there will be natural change. I was actually really surprised that Paul Tisdale was so ruthlessly dispatched, to be honest with you, Gordon, because everything you'd heard was that he was growing in influence around the place. I think he initially came in as a consultant. He then became head of football operations. What that job entailed, I don't really know, because we never ever got a chance to speak to him. He never ever did any media. He didn't speak to the fans via club channels. He was this guy who was sort of everything you heard that he was growing in influence, but nobody was 100% sure what his overall remit was. But he obviously paid the price for the Wilfred Nancy experiment. Just to touch on what Stephen was saying, I get the point. I think you always need people behind the scenes, and especially in kind of key positions, who know the club and know the environment. But I also think Celtic right now, again, this comes back to the big picture, probably need fresh ideas. You know, I think one of the accusations at Celtic has been that they've not gone and got a proper structure with guys who have got a track record at other big clubs from around Europe, for example. You know, Paul Tisdale seemed to just fall into that job. There's been other examples of that as well. So I think what Celtic ideally going forward need is a mixture of guys who know the club, know the environment, but also people who can come in with a fresh perspective and a background at other clubs. But that's way down the line. The short term task for Celtic is get signings in and try and win this league.
Here's what Martin O'Neill had to say on the subject of January transfers.
We definitely need to supplement the squad. Absolutely no question about that. Sean, for instance, has been working in the background in certain things. I think he would get to know some players. It's up to me as quickly as possible, because eventually, I would like to be sitting here in front of you and saying, listen, all these players are my choice. So, and that's what I really like to do. So I don't have a great deal of time. I will rely on Sean and Mark and Steve. They're opinion on players, but eventually it'll be down to me as much as anything else. And if they don't do well, I'll blame Sean, and if they do brilliantly, I shall take all the credit.
It's a good arrangement, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be interesting to see the type of player in the contract, because if he's coming out and saying today, look, I'm only here at the end of the season, and it's his players, and he said it there in his interview that he's got to be in control of it, him and Sean Maloney. You just wonder what Celtic are going down. Is it long-term contracts?
Is that where your structure does become a problem?
Yeah.
David, that's the whole point of, if you've got a structure, where you've got a sporting director, a director of football. It's supposed to be that managers can come and go and it doesn't impact transfer strategy. Your learned colleague raises a very good question about what that looks like. Do you think a heavy reliance on the loan market,
yeah,
perhaps?
A huge reliance on the loan market. I mean, Julian Araujo is already in from Bournemouth. I don't think he'll be the last to arrive from the Premier League. I think Celtic will be looking at that market, looking at guys that are maybe surplus to requirements down there. I think Celtic will only spend real money on someone if it's a no-brainer. And look, there's always a risk.
No.
Exactly,
yeah.
What does that mean? I think if it was something that they felt as a club, and it's interesting, you know, Martin Neil talking about Sean Maloney, and I do believe Sean Maloney has been heavily involved in the kind of recruitment scouting side of thing. I know his job title is professional player development manager or something like that, but I think it is heavily, there's a heavy emphasis on the signings as well. So I think Sean Maloney will know who's been flagged up. It comes down to Martin Neil probably saying, yeah, let's go for X and Y, but I think they have to go down the loan market.
Daniel's on the line from Warwick. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, glad. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm really glad that Martin Neil is back for the rest of the season. But I think for next season, for the permanent manager, I think that Celtic have to go all out and just go for the Motherwell manager.
I'll dump this call. Get rid of this guy. Cut him off. It's not allowed.
I think just the way that he's playing, the football he's got them playing, with the budget he's got and the players he's got, if you give him the Celtic budget, with the calibre of player that Celtic can bring in, we could not only dominate Scottish football, but we could, that's how we get better in Europe, by playing that sort of football.
It's like some prospect, Gordon. I suppose the big question is, when Jens Bertolascu wins the Premiership with Motherwell this season, would he drop down to manage a team that finished below?
That is a big question, but listen, it was always going to happen. The lads come in, he's been sensational. He's not even got the players, everyone's bought into what he's doing, right? The style of football he's producing is brilliant. He's getting clean sheets on top of that as well at home. There was, what, 8,000 plus against St Mirren at Fir Park at the weekend, David? You were there. It's a fairy tale for Motherwell. It's an absolute fairy tale. And look, like a player, if you're producing the goods, then without being disrespectful to our home club, Gordon, the big boys are going to start sitting up and taking notice, and that's certainly what's happening.
The only thing you could say, David, because you have to always take this into account, is just it's a totally different level of scrutiny, a different level of intensity, different level of pressure, different level of expectation. Because see, other than that, it's hard to spot a weakness yet in Jens Bertolascu, because the players he's brought in have been brilliant, and the ones that were already there, he's made brilliant. The system is so clear and so functional that even if those guys maybe aren't brilliant individually, they look it when they get into this system, and they can chop and change. But no, he's going nowhere, to be clear to Daniel. But you can understand why people are impressed.
It's maybe Motherwell this season is maybe the best coach team I can remember seeing in the Scottish Premiership. I genuinely can't speak highly enough of Jens Bertolascu and how he's going about his job. I think he's signed really well. I think he's created a brand of football. It's entertaining to watch. It's attacking, exciting. But the big thing for me, Gordon, you just mentioned there, he's taking guys who probably 18 months ago, a year ago, Motherwell fans would have been pretty happy to see the back of, and turned them into... He's just improved them so much, you know. You look at Paul McGinn, at what age is Paul McGinn now? A total new lease of life. He changes the team. It doesn't matter who comes in and out. They all play the same way. They're so well drilled, so well coached. And look, he's destined for bigger things. You're right, it would be an entirely different environment for him to go from Motherwell to Celtic. But if Celtic don't take him in the summer, someone bigger is going to take him.
Do you think because even yesterday, before Martin and he'll get announced, I saw lots of tweets about this, and you sort of wonder, Gordon, because you know what the food chain looks like. You know that if, it's a big if Celtic come and ask the question, it's going to be pretty hard for that to be turned down.
Yeah.
But in the summer, is he the type of manager that would want a pre-season? But you know, would want, because of this very specific way of playing, probably want a bit of time to go and...
100%. I think because of the way that Celtic went about their business, Martin and Neil coming in, Celtic fans are over the moon. Martin's going to go to the summer. Look, never say never. See, Martin O'Neill had to win the league, and you get that adrenaline, you get that love back, that passion. Age is nothing. You find that energy, and he's got people round about him to do the work he can't do. So I wouldn't rule that out. But if Martin decided to step down and this guy keeps producing the way he's producing, I would be baffled if Celtic didn't have to ask the question.
I suppose it depends who Motherwell will get in the Champions League next season, though, to see
yeah,
if he'd
exactly.
Wanna
yeah,
wanna
yeah,
crack
make fancy
that.
A crack at that.
Thank you, Daniel. Let me move on by telling you about this. Yes, it is that time already. You're running out of opportunity for this, actually, so get involved because it's tomorrow. Somebody will kickstart their new year with £125,000 extra in the bank. Now, you can still get yourself in the draw, and it's free as well. Gordon DL's favourite F word, isn't it?
Yep. Yes, free.
Free, that's it. Remember that. Make sure your entry's in. Text the word free to 61025. That's free to 61025. The entry, you guessed it, is free, but the standard network charge applies for sending the message. You can enter for free at makemeawinner.co.uk. All the rules are there as well for this network competition. Over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. Do not leave this to the last minute and then just forget to do it and miss your opportunity. £125,000 up for grabs. Text free to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here, and what a busy, busy start to the new year it has been. Of course, Martin O'Neill, Wilfried Nancy and all of the above dominating the headlines, but a huge game tonight in which Rangers can go in second place, 3 points clear of their City rivals if they get past another managerless team in Aberdeen. Andrew McLean has the team for us.
Yeah, Danny Rule makes two changes to the Rangers side that beat Celtic 3-1 at Celtic Park on Saturday. Dujon Sterling and Tello Asgard both drop to the bench. In come James Tavernier and Mohamed Diamande. So Jack Butland continues in goal. It's a back four of James Tavernier, John Souter, Emmanuel Fernandez and Jaden Magoma. The midfield three, Conor Barron, Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande, with Mikey Moore and Jadon Gassama either side of Yusuf Chermiti. The substitutes for Rangers tonight: Kelly, Insiala, Aaron, Sterling, Matondo, Dowell, Asgard, Miovski and Danilo. I'll get you the Aberdeen team shortly.
I don't think there's much surprise there, is there, Gordon?
No.
In terms of Asgard was not good at the weekend and came off. Dujon Sterling very rarely plays sort of a run of games in the fitness wise. So they would have been the number one contender, number one and two contenders.
Yeah,
to drop out.
I'm not surprised, especially the middle of the park decision. I know that Asgard came in for a bit of criticism. To be fair to him, he gets booked very early and puts himself under severe pressure, Gordon. But it was always a tactical change, and not just him. I think that the Rangers manager could have probably made a few substitutions with the performance. But Diamandé coming in the middle of the park with Raskin and Barron really shored that up for me. I thought it looked very strong indeed. And then obviously you've got your captain back in at right back. So two changes. Has it weakened the team? Not for me.
It's a huge game, this, David, because it is that it's always the next game always carries a bit of this, where people will, they'll all be turning up. You can hear them in the supporters' buses and waiting to go through the turnstiles, sort of saying, it's no use beating them on the weekend if you can't follow it up tonight. And sometimes that brings with it a bit of trepidation.
Yeah, and I think it makes it almost more important, you know, because you have a great win over Celtic at the weekend. You've got Aberdeen to come at Pittodrie, which is always a difficult venue for Rangers, but they need to get the job done and stay focused. I mean, we're speaking about Rangers in a title bid, and I think since that Hearts game, they've bounced back really well. I think it's three wins in a row. They can make it four tonight. I think they'll be far too strong for Aberdeen, and then they could go to Pittodrie at the weekend. If you're getting 5 wins out of 5 at this stage of the season, that could be crucial. But yeah, I think it's a huge game. I think Danny Rule's message to these players is pretty simple: stay focused, get the job done. You're up against a team without a manager just now. Rangers should be far too strong for Aberdeen.
Is the next step then, Gordon, a consistent good performance level? Because they've got the results, they've now got the statement win as well, because that was missing. They didn't have the so-called big win. So is that the next step, to go and dominate a game from start to finish, play attractive football? I know it's not as important as winning, but if you're looking to keep incrementally getting better, is that the next step for them? Because it's easy to forget how poor they were in the first half of the weekend.
Yeah, I think that would help other teams look around and say, look, all of a sudden they're winning with style now. They're getting better, the players are getting better, they're playing with a lot of confidence. I do agree, Gordon. I think the most important thing is, I think it'll be a difficult game tonight, and the reason I'm going to say that is I think Aberdeen will come down there and they'll try to make it very difficult. I think the old cliche part of bus will come into play. And it's up to Rangers to go and break them down, especially at home. You know what Leica is? We've all been there. Rangers expected to win tonight, and I do fancy them to win. If it's not going well, 25, 30 minutes, you hear a little bit of rumblings again, and that's just natural from supporters. Because you heard it at Tynecastle, and Hearts are sitting top of the league and they're beating Livingston 1-0. It's just a typical reaction you get from supporters because they're desperate to go and win and they're in a good position. Listen, I think first and foremost, coming off of there, second in the league, and he would love to be standing in his interviews saying, we played absolute terrific tonight.
And let's quickly get the Aberdeen team, of course. Jimmy Tilleen sacked there, Peter Leaven in charge. What's the team looking like from the Granite City, Andrew?
Yeah, Peter Leaven making three changes to his side tonight. Maybe the most interesting is that Jesper Karlsson, who has been one of Aberdeen's better players this season, he drops to the bench along with Dylan Lobin. Adil Aushish is out the squad altogether. In come Devlin, Giamfi and Pulvara. So it's going to be Dimitar Mitov in goal for Aberdeen tonight. The back four, Nicky Devlin, Mats Knuster, Jack Milne and Emmanuel Giamfi. The midfield three, Graham Shinney, Kjartan Kjartansson and Dante Pulvara, with Keenan Bilalovic and Stuart Armstrong supporting Kevin Nisbet up top. The substitutes for Aberdeen tonight at Ibrox: Suman, Nielsen, Clarkson, Milanovic, Karlsson, Lazetic, Jensen, Lobin and Keskinen.
Interesting team lineup. Keep the calls coming in for that one, Rangers fans and Aberdeen fans. Jay, though, is a Celtic fan, to round off the first hour. Jay, what are your thoughts?
How are you doing, guys? You all right?
Good, thank you. You well?
So, can you do us a favour, actually? Can you start screening the calls of all the Celtic fans that are phoning in now, saying that they knew from day one? It's getting a bit boring now.
Nancy wouldn't cut it.
It's the same people that said the same thing about Big Ange Postecoglou, I'm sure, as well. but look, I'm a Celtic fan, right? Football's a gamble. Any appointment you make in football is going to be there's no guarantee. Regardless if it's a coach or a player, because you can get a best striker in the world and he comes up here, he's no good, same as a manager as well. So that's one of those things. It is what it is. It's been done. It's out the way. The point I want to make is that I'm a great fan of Martin O'Neill, no hassle whatsoever, but I think bringing him back, I think that's going to put Celtic back. I don't think we're going to progress much in the next 6 months. I don't see many new players coming in this window. As much as we need them, we'll probably get a few loan players. Hopefully I'm wrong. I mean, Martin O'Neill was here before, yet we won all the games, but it wasn't pretty. You know, we were scraping by, the team's not there. So what's going to happen when Martin O'Neill loses three games? Hopefully he doesn't. Are we going to have a big drama outside Celtic Park again? Are we going to start, you know, having a hissy fit? Being a rebuild, a big rebuild, it has to happen at Celtic, front and back and everywhere else. So that's going to take time. I think Celtic fans, in reality, have got a psychological thing in their brain that, you know, we deserve to win the league. We shouldn't lose any matches. You lose football matches, that's part of life. Sometimes you just got to go on from there. My opinion. So I'm happy Martin O'Neill's back. It might steady the ship, but I think it's put us back. A new manager would have came in. We could have got some new signings and go on from there. But I think nothing's going to happen till the summer, until the next manager comes in.
The only thing I'll say, Jay, a new manager come in last 8 games. And that went terribly wrong. I think Martin O'Neill's a great appointment, in the sense of, you're correct in what you said, 100%. Every managing appointment, player, whatever it is a risk at a club, right? But I think you're sort of you're putting the risk down a little bit when you bring in Martin O'Neill, who's obviously knows the club, he's a legend at the club, the fans will get behind him, they'll buy into him, the players obviously last time responded to him. So I think it's a good move, and I think that if Martin can get them over the line to the summer, then that's the time to hand on the baton for someone to come in, get their own players in the transfer window, get a good pre-season under their belt, and then get off and running.
I think you're right, Jay. Football is a gamble. Nothing brings any guarantees, but surely if you're looking to limit the gamble, limit the risk, you turn to a guy that was getting wins a month ago.
Do you think that they'll give Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney the same budget had Wilfred and Nancy been any good? Do you think he'll get the same? I don't think so. I think they would have gave Nancy a lot more if he was good at his job. Obviously he wasn't, you're right, so that's fine. But do you see anything major happening in signings? That's my concern.
Look, it's far from ideal, Jay. I totally agree with you in that sense, but I just think it was the only option Celtic had. I don't think they've got time to go through a process of hiring a new manager. If you're looking at guys who are maybe in the mix when Wilfred Nancy get the job, to go back to them so quickly, I don't think that was ever going to happen. So yeah, it's far from ideal. As we spoke earlier, Celtic are probably going to have to rely heavily on the loan market, because whoever takes over permanently in the summer will want a specific budget to do so. But I just think Celtic have to make the best of a bad situation right now, and the only option for me, only one, was Martin O'Neill coming back with Sean Maloney.
Thank you, Jay. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. I think the listeners are already up and running for 2026, which is a good start. Let's try and build on it this evening. Gordon Dale's not been well. He was having lemon sip and honey in the office before we came on. So his usual bad Beat the Pundit standards could be even worse, and you could take advantage of it if you get your calls in before 7. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Dl are here, both waiting on your call. So do get in touch. Martin O'Neill's back, Wilfred Nancy's gone, Paul Tisdale along with him, January transfer window open, a title race very much on. Give us all your thoughts there, Celtic fans. What about tonight at Ibrox? Might be a good time to switch our focus to that game. We've given you the team news. Two changes for Rangers: Asgard and Sterling dropping out. The now in form Yusuf Chirmiti, who would have thought it, still leading the line. So get all your thoughts in, please, ahead of that game. Kilmarnock fans, happy or not with Neil McCann's appointment and all the rest of it? We'll do our best to work through between now and 8 o'clock after we play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form, Gordon Dale? Any idea? Can you remember?
No.
Right, never mind then.
I know I've not been beat this year, but I've no idea of the form.
Have you played this year?
No.
Oh, there you go. It's easy to remember then, I suppose. David Friel, have you? What's your? You've only played a couple of times, am I right?
Maybe three or four.
You won every one.
I think I've won every one.
Well, you should. That's your job.
I know.
What, professional Beat the Pundit player?
Well, think about it. Him and Hannah are good because they sit in the office. They're getting every bit of information
constantly.
Hugh Keevans reads newspapers and he's hopeless.
But Shuggy's part time now, so. But
you can also, it's the heat of the moment and it's
the pressure and all that stuff.
You work with the sun, not rag. You work with.
Roger Hanna will be on the phone.
By the way, tell Roger Hanna to go on the phone. I want to speak to him.
Oh, have you? You've been in the tabloids over the Christmas period, no?
No.
I've not seen you in a while. I just wondered what you were getting at there. Forgot we hadn't. You and I had some catching up to do over the festive period. Let's bring in Johnny, who wants to play Beat the Pundit tonight. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Gordon.
Have you ever played this before?
No, I'm absolutely terrified.
No, Johnny,
don't be terrified. Just be nervous.
This guy, the guy furthest to my left, Gordon Dale, is capable.
Can I just say, like, see, for every question I get wrong, I'll give you eternity cash or kids or whatever it is.
Johnny, you got the skin.
Johnny, what have you
got? A donut.
I'm just going to answer them really slow.
Ah, exactly. No, listen, you'll be fine, Johnny. You'll be fine. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be David Friel, the red side. For Gordon Dale.
Oh, he's only one toss here. Because you do it all the time. You're brilliant at it.
It's very paranoid tonight.
I know. I guarantee that's coming red. I guarantee.
Right, hold on. Explain your theory to me.
Because I know the way you toss a coin, how high you toss it, and how you start.
Right, okay then. Here's what we'll do. You take it.
No, come on.
You take the coin. David Field, take it. Right. I'll close my eyes.
Right.
Give me the coin.
Give me the coin.
Right, and now I don't know which way it's starting. Is that fair?
Okay, go. It doesn't matter what way it goes. I'm telling you, he knows the height of that to get me.
But I didn't know what colour it was starting on.
Listen,
we're live stream. Get the VAR check. My eyes were closed.
I think Johnny's playing mind games as well. He says he's terrified.
I think he's brilliant.
Plus, if I get a tenner, I'll tell you what, I'll get a tenner for everyone I get right.
All I would say is they're actually very difficult tonight.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's give Gordon DL something to listen to. Johnny, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, your time starts now. Who's got more Celtic appearances, Sean Maloney or Stephen McManus?
Oh, Stephen McManus.
What was the score last time Rangers played Aberdeen?
2-1 Rangers.
Before Kilmarnock, who was the last team Neil McCann permanently managed?
It was pass.
Which Scottish Championship club is sponsored by Holemasters?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership teams get the fewest league goals at home this season?
Livingston.
Who did Scott Arfield start his senior career with?
Falkirk.
Okay, Gordon Daly, you ready? Mm-hmm. These are brutal tonight, honestly.
Oh, I could imagine.
Are you ready?
Aye.
Same set of questions, your time starts now. Who made more Celtic appearances, Sean Maloney or Stephen McManus?
Stephen McManus.
What was the score the last time Rangers played Aberdeen?
4-0 Rangers.
Before Kilmarnock, named the last team Neil McCann managed permanently?
Dundee.
Which Scottish Championship club is sponsored by Holemasters?
Holemasters? Oh, St Johnstone, no idea.
Which Scottish Premiership team have scored the fewest league goals at home this season?
Livingston.
Who did Scott Arfield start his senior career with?
Livingston. Was it Falkirk?
Rogue shout that. It's a rogue shout, that last one.
Scott Arfield, it was Livingston or Falkirk?
I mean, of all the questions, that's the easiest.
Is he know your favourite player of all time?
And he's like, it's the whole, he's missed the Falkirk. That's the point. Started at Falkirk came back to Falkirk.
Because I said Livingston for
Livingston?
I know, I should say.
And you think, hold on, and you think Livingston is the answer to two questions in a row?
I don't believe that. I should have said Falkirk. Livingston Falkirk, can I change that? Livingston Falkirk.
What? Do you know what though? Now the producers, we could do a wee mind game. In the future, you can have the same answer and questions back to back. As if Livy would be the same answer to two consecutive
questions. I don't know
questions.
Why I thought that. Because I said Livy, it's Falkirk. I know it's Falkirk.
Okay. Which current. So out of the two, Sean Maloney, Stephen McManus, who get the most appearances for Celtic? You both went Stephen McManus. It was Sean Maloney.
Was it?
By about 11. So it's quite close. None of you got it. Did you? You seem to know this. The score the last time Rangers played Aberdeen. You seem pretty certain of that. It is 4-0 to Rangers. You forget they've not played this season. This is the first one. It was back in May at the end of last season. So it's 1-0 to Gordon Dalziel. Before Kilmarnock, the last team Neil McCann managed permanently was Dundee. Johnny, you just couldn't quite get that out, could you? I felt like it was in there somewhere, but you passed in the end, and it was 2-0 to Gordon Dalziel. Holemasters is Airdrie, your former club.
Oh, no.
Surprised it wasn't you that lined up that sponsor when you were there. Which Scottish Premiership team have scored the fewest league goals? I was thinking, okay, and then it's at home. The wee caveat is, what a tough question. I'm going to come back to that one. Scott Arfield started his career with Falkirk, very famously.
See if I lose this tonight. I'm
interestingly, though,
again.
Maybe you're thinking, see, he's reported to be signing to Livingston.
That's what threw me.
I know, we spoke about it earlier.
So it's Falkirk. So Johnny's one behind.
What did Johnny get?
That's the only question Johnny got so far is the Falkirk one.
Right.
Let's revisit the next one because it could be an equaliser for Johnny or it could be the end of the road. Which Scottish Premiership team has scored the fewest league goals at home this season? Who did you say, Johnny?
Well, I said Livingston.
Spoiler. And so did Gordon Dalziel. Both wrong. St Mirren.
I don't care. I've scraped. Many pounds do you cash for kids, Johnny?
One pound.
I don't know.
Five rang, that's a tenner. Tenner, it's 50 quid, mate.
Johnny, that you keep your money. We appreciate you coming on to play. It was not great, but it was only marginally better by Gordon Dalziel.
I don't 2-1. Care. I've scraped a win there.
Scraped a win.
You don't deserve a win.
The Neil McCann, you're right, I didn't know that.
Johnny. I could almost hear it.
I knew Scott Archer, but I just tried to keep
Scott
him down. I knew Scott Arfield, but I was just trying to keep it tight.
Honestly, I feel like taking points off you for that Scott Arfield answer.
Livingston. I'm disgusted. It's because we were talking about it.
He might be signing for Livingston.
He might be signing.
Is he not from Livingston?
See, the minute I said Livingston, I knew it was Falkirk.
He's from Livingston.
That kind of area, certainly. Okay. Johnny, who's your team?
I'm just glad that at least I got one right.
Yeah, exactly. Who's your team, Johnny?
Motherwell.
Oh, we've had Celtic callers on here wanting your manager in the summer.
There was a guy on before. Where was he from? Like Warwick or something like that?
Yep.
Just tell him to sit down.
Well, it's not now, to be fair. Neighbor. They've got Martin O'Neill till the summer. Let's be safe, because I was the same. I like these jokes.
I was honestly more worried that Aberdeen are going to come in for the ends.
But do you think he would even... Would he go to Aberdeen?
I don't know. You never know. Like, Flo's there, like, and all that still.
So. Yeah, Alan Burrow's connection. And listen, we've seen it before with Mark McGee, Craig Brown. Do you think, if Aberdeen asked...
No.
You don't think...
I think he's destined for bigger things in Aberdeen. With all due respect to Aberdeen. I know it's been a well-worn... a well-trodden path, mm-hmm. Gordon. I just feel like he'll be looking for bigger and better than that, and I think Aberdeen will go down a specific route. Lutz Fahnensteel is going to be leading that chase for the new manager, and I think Aberdeen might go for him again, but maybe look at someone in the German market or something.
I don't think he's going anywhere near Aberdeen. I totally agree with David. I think his reputation is getting higher and higher each single week. Every team he comes up against, people are coming out and saying it's the best team that they've played against. Style of football, the fans are flooding back to Fir Park. He ain't going to Aberdeen, he'll go to Higher in Aberdeen. And no disrespect to Aberdeen, he's a better manager than Aberdeen Football Club.
Whether it's Celtic or not, Johnny, has he done such a good job already that beyond the summer might be quite tough for Motherwell to keep?
Well, definitely, yes. But I was actually on the other night, like, saying that Motherwell would win the league. And then, Gordon, you said to me, actually, I was more worried about the St Mirren game. But it'd be St Mirren. We're actually just getting better and better every game. So now I'm worried about Hibs.
That's the good thing about the league, though, David, because it is that, I saw the logic, not only beating Celtic, but so, so convincingly, yeah. Brilliant. Everybody said it. There's a lot of Motherwell fans there saying, oh, but, you know, no, St Mirren are like, you know, and look at what they did in the Cup semi-final. They won that really comfortably. But next up, it's away to the team, to the other, one of the other informed teams in the league, and they sit just behind Motherwell. So, such a crucial period coming up, but it kind of feels like they're all crucial periods.
Yeah, it does, but what I like about the Motherwell manager is he seems quite... He's never getting carried away, and I don't think he lets his players get carried away either. He just seems quite calm about the whole thing, and he'll know... Hibs inside out, and speaking to Elliot Watt after the Celtic game, and he spoke about the directions and the coaching and just the little things that Jens Bertolasco had told his players to work on, to look out for. And he said, when you put it into practice on the pitch, everything he told them would happen did happen. So he's clearly a guy who knows how he wants his team to play, how he wants them to implement it.
Messages
that, right? Are unbelievable.
Just a quick personal one. So Andy Halliday was in here on the Monday, right? I think I can say this, I'm not giving away any secrets. Andy came in here on the Monday, right, and said, oh, wait till you hear what we've got up our sleeve for tomorrow. We're making this change and that change. No strikers. Mm-hmm. There's basically four right backs playing across the back. And I guess the wonders of modern technology was kind of, he had things in his phone just saying, those I'm interested in that stuff, saying, this is... See, when Celtic have got goal kicks, this is what we're planning to do. And when we've got goal kicks, that's what they're planning to do. See, being at the game, I was working for Sky behind the goal. I was in the Davy Cooper stand. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting with that view. I cannot do justice to just how Motherwell's game plan worked from what Andy had told me 24 hours earlier. Genuinely blew my mind. Mm-hmm. As if Jens Bertolasco... And I know loads of top managers do this, but as if he could see the future. So see, when we've got a goal kick, Celtic are going to do this. So see, when they do that, we'll just do this. And I'm sat behind the goal like a game of Subutio.
You can see it unfold.
Watching the players, though, move into this position. And then it genuinely blew my mind. And I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't know where this Motherwell team go. I try not to get carried away either. But what I'd say is, see, just having that sort of prediction or that explanation from Andy on the Monday as to what Motherwell were going to do against Celtic, and then see it from behind the goal, I could not believe it.
See, to be fair, Gordon, I think the manager deserves all the credit, but so does the players. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because they're not a group of superstars that are earning massive, massive money, but everyone is obviously taking on what they're getting told, and they're taking it out onto the pitch, and they're implementing it onto the pitch, which is absolutely brilliant. It's okay as a coach to turn around and say, this is the way I want my team to play. But if your players don't understand it, you ain't going to achieve anything. So what he's doing is absolutely brilliant. The one thing I couldn't understand, and I've been a manager as well, because he was talking in an interview after the Celtic game, and obviously Big Charlie was rubbing his ears upside down. And he started talking about some players need it in 3D, some players need it in 2D, some players need it in practical out in the pitch. And I thought to myself, that's not just luck, that's hard work, that's preparation.
Yeah.
That's
at the same time, it's the sort of thing Wilfred Nancy was ridiculed for. That's what he means. Some people want a diagram, some people want, some people need it in the pitch, the tactics board. Someone close to Scott Arfield, that's all I'll say, has heard your Scott Archer answer there. And is
I'm embarrassed because that's my favourite player of all time.
You don't know his name or where he started his career.
I've just had a bad
membership
night.
Revoked of the Scott Arfield fan club. No. Thank you, Johnny, on the line. Andy is a Rangers fan. Andy, how big is tonight now on the back of the weekend and everything that's happened?
Yeah, massive. It's another 3 points. The weekend's gone now, as much as it was enjoyable at the time. And I've got to agree, Dunk, with you, Gordon, that Motherwell have been phenomenal this season, and the best football I've seen all season at Ibrox was that first half hour from Motherwell. And I look forward to buying Elliot Watt either in January or the summer. So thank you very much for bringing him through.
The thing is, Andy's price will go up after he's in the Scotland squad for the World Cup, so you need to bear that in mind.
We've got an owner that can afford it. That's not an issue. So name your price. And I'd rather stay local. But yeah, we were good. I look forward tonight. I think Danny Rule has done a phenomenal job since he's came in. Never mind the game at the weekend against Celtic. 3 points is 3 points. You don't get 6 points for beating Celtic. We've got 3 points the same as beating anyone else gets us. So at the form table, since he's come in, doesn't make us champions, you know, plastic champions. But it shows us we've got a guy who knows what he's doing. He's learned from his mistakes. The cliche game of two halves was spot on at the weekend. We were awful and Celtic should have been out of sight in that first half. However, second half, rule changed it. Nancy didn't have a clue what to do. He played really good football, but he could only play it one way. I think we've got a manager there who seems to know what he's doing. And bear in mind, Martin O'Neill had a chance against Danny Rule in over 90 minutes against 10 men for 60 minutes, managed to draw one each. I'm not concerned about Martin O'Neill going back to Celtic because he's had his shot and we've seen what Celtic's Martin O'Neill's Celtic can do. As have many other teams, they've scraped by against a lot. For me, it's a three-way dance for the title. Very unfortunate. I don't think Motherwell are going to be up there at the end. I think they might have their say in where it goes. But the title goes to the team who has the best January. And I think for me right now, Rangers and Celtic are behind Hearts already by not signing anyone really currently. Celtic have signed this Bournemouth reserve, but signings that go in and make an impact and start straight away. I believe the Hearts boy, the fullback, got an assist in his first game, didn't he?
Yeah, went straight in. Jordi Altena at the weekend.
That's what's going to decide the league this year, is the January transfer window. And for me, I'd like to see Penrice. I'd like to see Gogic come in immediately. I want to stay local. I'm not interested in 3 million, 4 million signings from Norway. I want to stay in Scotland. There's plenty of talent here. As Motherwell have shown, as Hearts have shown, as St Mirren have shown, and I think 3 or 4 signings starting in this team wins us the title.
How much is in James Penrice stories, David?
Look, I think it makes sense in terms of a Scottish talented left back. Rangers clearly need reinforcements there. I think Jaden Magoma, of all the summer signings, I think has been quietly impressive. I think he's played a lot of games. He's done well, but he needs a hand. I mean, Derek Cornelius was signed by Rangers with a kind of view to almost playing as a left centre half at times and helping out at left back. So obviously he's injured and he'll be out for a bit of time yet. So yeah, definitely need a left back. Sorry, and I think James Penrice ticks a lot of boxes where Rangers can get one over the line, get that deal over the line this month. Remains to be seen. I'm just interested, Andy, where else you would like to strengthen, especially if you want to stay in the Premiership, because I personally feel Rangers need another striker. I know Youssef Djamiti scored the 2 goals at the weekend. Bojamiowski's come into a bit of form, but it looks like Danilo might be allowed to go. So I just wonder if Rangers would be in the market for another number 9, because Celtic certainly are, and Hearts don't have any issues in that front with Lauren Shanklin and such.
Andy,
it's good form.
Yeah, need a left back, need a right back. Centre backs are kind of covered for, albeit they're a bit awkward. I'd take a number 6. I think that's where we'd have to spend a bit of money. A winger potentially coming in. A striker, and I think Rangers fans, we've got a terrible habit right now of players of 2 good games, see Miowski, see Raskin, see Chernyty, and we go over the top. Now, Chernyty looked very good at the weekend, but let's see that over six or seven games. Give the guy a chance. Still not an £8 million player at the minute. Danilo, I'll drive to the destination of his choice, and I'll cover the fuel. Miovsky's there, so maybe another striker, but maybe just a forward or attacking player rather than a striker potentially. Because if Danny Rule can get this team over the line with 1-0s and 2-0s and 2-1s, then that's fine. I quite like the boy Clarkson at Aberdeen. St Mirren have got a couple of strikers that would they do the job to the end of the season, just a kind of big target man type player. But if we can go with Chinmiti as our number nine, if he can replicate what he done against Celtic, and to be fair, in the first half against Celtic, we had two good players. Butland, who actually made the mistake for Yang's goal that was hit right at him, but he's kept us in it. And Chinmiti ran himself ragged in that first half. And if he can do that, and the confidence of the goals comes, a striker's not my number one priority. But we could be sitting here in a couple of weeks' time going, Chinmiti had two good games and that was it. The same as Miovsky had. But for me, a number six is paramount. Let Raskin move forward. Conor Barron's been excellent. Two full-backs just to shore up the defence.
Maybe
Mr. Kavanagh gets a chequebook out.
I was going to say, Gordon, I'm reliably informed that the number six is pretty high up Rangers' priority list. It'd be interesting to see when they move, because again, from what I heard, it's not, they're not put off by having spent in the summer. I think they're happy to go again. I think they're not, you know, of course fans might say it wasn't particularly wisely spent, some of the money in the summer, but I think the hierarchy acknowledge that and are going to want to go again. Andy mentions your old pal from the school gates, Alex Gogic.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant for St Mirren. Can do a job in defence, can do a job in the middle of the park, great attitude. I think St Mirren would be really unpleased if he left the building. But where I do agree with Andy is, I look at the top three, and the one thing they've now got in place is, I think they've got good managers, right? Managers that every club there is pleased with. You'll not hear Hearts, Celtic or Rangers talking about, from now to the end of the season, dismissing their manager because they're happy in that situation. Rightly so. I think where I agree with Andy is how the January window is. Who can recruit the best players in the right positions that is going to make that difference? Because I think that's what's needed here. And it'll be interesting to see who they bring in. I totally agree. There's positions there that Rangers need to strengthen in. Centre forward, I'd certainly look, or a number, someone from the middle of part of 10 that can go and get you, you know, those vital goals from now to the end of the season, maybe. Full backs, definitely agree with that. And you're talking about the number six here, so it's a big transfer window for Rangers, massive for Celtic, and obviously Hearts have already started. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see when the window closes how the two squads then eventually look. Three squads.
Thank you, Andy. Keep the calls coming. We'll catch up with you next. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for David Friel and Gordon Diehl to tackle the full time teaser this evening. Thanks to Luke for sending it in. It is fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to submit your question for the full time teaser, that's where you email it to. Luke says, who scored the opening goal in the last 10 Old Firm New Year derbies? So, who scored the opening goal in the last 10 Old Firm New Year derbies? He says it doesn't include own goals. And he says, just to note, not all took place in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that one, the kind of the festive one.
Number one.
Yes.
Robin Proper.
Oh, David Friel.
No.
Rubbish. Seriously.
You've got the right. I know the game you're thinking of. He didn't open the scoring.
Raskin?
Danilo also scored for Rangers that day, and I can't remember.
I can't remember who opened the scoring. Was it from distance? I think.
Yanis Hadji.
Yeah, the only reason I remember, because for the second year in a row, I've watched the New Year game in the press room at the Dundee Derby, waiting to work at that on the same day. So it came back to me. Yanis Hadji, any others?
Rio Hatate?
No. Is that February, that one, maybe? Is that a kind of rearranged one or something?
Maybe.
Okay, we'll get back to it. Looking for the last 10 who scored the opening goal of the Old Firm New Year Derby. Like I say, some of them might have been the 29th or whatever, the 30th, but that one roundabout there. Yang and Yanis Hadji so far. So thanks again to Luke for sending in fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send your questions into us. We're building up to kickoff. It's an 8 o'clock tonight as well, so 30 minutes away from kickoff at Ibrox. Give us all your thoughts there. What direction do you think Aberdeen will go in more permanently?
As I said, I think they'll go for, and I mean, by all accounts, the sporting director, Lutz Pannensteel, very kind of colourful character, is leading the charge for the new manager. I think Dave Cormack, as always, will have a big say in it as well, but I would imagine they'll go about left field. Personally, I think they're just going to get Stephen Robinson. I think Stephen Robinson would be a brilliant
I see a
Aberdeen
lot of
manager.
Aberdeen fans on social media, for want of a better expression, turning their nose up at Stephen Why? Robinson. Gordon Deal, is that, how do you think about his credentials?
I'm with Dave. Listen, in the Scottish game, he's been absolutely brilliant. Look at the success he's brought to Motherwell. Look at the success he's brought to St Mirren. The teams he builds, I think he gets a little bit of unfair criticism about style of play. He's not just about a long ball team. I think he organises his teams absolutely brilliant. You've seen that against Motherwell in the semi-final. And they deserve to win that. You've seen it against Celtic as well at half-time when he tweaked things and he went after Celtic and probably should have won it more comfortably. So tactically, I think he's got everything. An eye for a player, you can't deny that because he loses his best players year in, year out and still goes and recruits. And as I say, for the Scottish game in Aberdeen, I think he'd be brilliant.
Okay, well, speaking of managerial change, we have got a new appointment today and it is Neil McCann, who's now the manager of Kilmarnock following Stuart Kettlewell's departure. Chris Doolan was, of course, an interim charge. That's come to an end. Charlie's a Kilmarnock fan, Queen's Park. What do you think of it, Charlie? Happy? Is that the right man for you or not?
All right, lads, just coming on to say, I think Neil McCann's a positive, to be honest. Well, it obviously looks like we couldn't get... I know Robbie Dielsen was obviously out there as well. It looks like we couldn't afford them now, but I'm pretty happy with Neil McCann. Good experience. Hopefully, get us out of the rut that we're in. Not once since October. It's just been a horrible time for Kilmarnock going to the game, knowing you're going to get beat every week. It's just one of the things, you know. I thought we were going to do it against Dundee, but it's just one of the things. I think that Neil McCann will hopefully get us out of the rut. Hopefully claw the points back against Dundee, because we're 9 points behind Dundee and facing relegation for a second time. And seeing, look at, I was on when Derek McInnes left, and look how that's turned out for Hearts, top of the league. Kind of eating my words a wee bit, but fair play to Derek McInnes and Hearts, and hopefully they can go and win the league and see another team win the league instead of someone same old Celtic or Rangers.
So what else appeals to you about Neil McCann's appointment?
Well, he's had experience with Barry Ferguson. I thought they were a good structured team when they were under Barry Ferguson. Hard to beat. Went to Celtic Park and beat them. I just think that it'll be a bit more positive around the Rugby Park, and I think they might be able to go and pick up some Rangers players that are not getting game time. Like Finlay Curtis or Lyle Cameron. I think Lyle Cameron's better than Davey Watson. His contract's running out at the end of the year. Doesn't look like he's going to stay. Hopefully get a wee bit of freshness in the team that can maybe push us on. Because at the moment, there's just nothing. There's no creativity.
What do you make of it, David? It was Neil McCann. I've seen a bit of this. Charlie maybe does know more than me. I have no idea if Robbie Nielsen was way more expensive than Neil McCann and that's why that fell down. I don't know if that's the case, but anyway, I know that's a kind of story that's maybe doing the rounds on social media or whatever. What do you make of Neil McCann?
I think it's a good appointment. I agree with Hugh Gordon. I've seen a lot of stuff today. Oh, it's a cheap option. I don't really get that. I think Neil McCann is clearly hungry for another shot at management. Look, he's a very busy pundit. I'm sure he could make a really good living doing what he does as a pundit. And same with Billy Dodds. But two guys who clearly want to get back into coaching, who clearly have ambitions to continue to work full time in that area. I think they'll be a good mix. Neil McCann, you've seen in the past as a manager at Dundee, and even when he was in Rangers coaching staff, he can be fiery. That's part of his makeup. I think he'll bounce well off Billy Dodds, who by all accounts, very popular among any squad he's ever managed or coached. So actually, I think it's a good appointment. I think for Kilmarnock, they are two guys who will want to lead the club forward. I think they'll get Kilmarnock playing very, very good football. Well, and I think one thing at Dundee, he also picked up some good players, you know, like Glenn Kamara and guys like that, made absolutely. Them better. So I see a lot of positives for that.
To sort of contradict myself, because I do feel we fall into this trap of talking about managers who play and managers who don't. There's a lot more, there's a lot of grey areas in there as well. But his Dundee team was known for trying to play it out from the back and so on. This Kilmarnock team is not.
Yeah.
So how quickly do you do that when you get in Tuesday the 6th of January and try and keep the team in the division?
Again, we'll come back to
Wilfried Nancy.
Yeah, we've spoken about ideological managers, etc. Look, he'll get Kilmarnock playing in a way that can get them results. He's just, you know, on such a bad run. I don't think he will come in and try to turn them into Pep Guardiola's Barcelona overnight or anything like that. He'll play to their strengths. He's a guy who knows Scottish football inside out. He's out at games all the time. And as I say again, I think he'll be hungry to go and be a success, and I don't really see any negatives with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of good points for that appointment. The two of them have been managers, the two of them have been coaches. Two of them, as David quite rightly say, go out week in, week out. They know the Scottish game inside out. And I don't think Neil's one of these guys that will go down there and think, right, okay, I'm the manager of Kilmarnock, I'm going to play a formation that doesn't suit his players. I think he's sensible enough to know that I'll have a good look at my players, I'll get a feel for my players, and I'll play at their strengths. And hopefully for everyone in Kilmarnock, they start picking up points. But like everything else, and we keep saying it, every appointment's a risk, but I think they've limited the risk by going and getting the turn.
Thank you to Charlie, who is a Kelly fan, fairly optimistic and happy about Neil McCann's appointment. What about Simon on the other line? Do you share the optimism?
No, I don't. I'm the complete opposite. I'll caveat everything I'm going to say by saying that you obviously get my full support and full backing, and I'll be at every game as much as I can, but I don't understand the optimism. I feel it's another jobs for the boys, a guy that's well liked amongst the media, so the media are hyping him up. I mean, the guy said there that he's sure that Neil McCann will be able to get results and get wins. His win ratio at Dundee was less than 30%, so I don't know where that confidence is. He signed a couple of good players, guys like Colker and Kamara, but he also signed about 14 guys who have played like 10 odd games for them. Got released guys from National League South, Southern Premier League, Third Division in Bulgaria. And do you know what, his football style, you're saying he likes playing out for the back, and he maybe will compromise his style a little bit, but we physically don't have the players that can play that. I mean, Robbie Deas is one of the worst distribution I've ever seen a centre back, and if you're going to try and play out from the back with him there, it's just not going to work. I think in terms of, you're saying like the cheap option, I think it was a story from the Kelly Chronicle and like the newspaper website that focuses on Kilmarnock, that was what Robbie Nielsen wanted, was assurances that we'd have a budget, and that's maybe not happened, but I don't see it. I was actually watching the interview with Lutz Pfaffenstiel, the Aberdeen head of football, and he said a phrase that, you know, made me really angry that we're just not following that here, where he said that he wants a manager. The manager shouldn't dictate the style of play. The club should dictate it and find the coach or manager who fits into that. And we are just going from one idea to the other. We got Stuart Kettlewell, who played more sort of forward football, get the ball forward as quickly as possible. And now we seem to have just went to a guy who's going to get the ball on the deck, despite the fact we don't have the players to do that. We just have no sort of plan in place. We don't have any sort of structure of how we want Kilmarnock to run, how we want the team to be, the type of coach or manager we are. It's just let a manager come in, do whatever he wants to do, build the squad in his image every time, and then when it doesn't work, Billy Bowie has to put his hand in his pocket and rebuild an entire squad again and sack a manager instead of having the players in place that play the style that the club should want. I think it's just such a short-term idea, or a guy who talks well in the media. I mean, that's why we've got Stuart Kettlewell. He talks well in interviews, and it seems like the same thing's happened again. I just think it's I never thought once that game, after that game in Arbroath, When we beat Arbroath, I thought, right, that should be it. We've learned a lesson. We'll not end up in the Championship again. And like 4 or 5 years later, it looks like we're going to end up back there. And it's just absolutely frustrating because we've got no plan and no structure in place at the football club. And it leads to decisions like this. That
I think. Who would you have gone for, Simon?
So, well, Robbie Nielsen's win percentage is much, much better in Scotland. I think he would have...
Has managed Hearts though, hasn't he? So it's bound to, like, you know, give you a bit of an advantage there.
He also won the Championship when Hibs and Rangers were in it, which is a pretty good achievement. I think we needed to look outside the box. I think, you know, you look at what Motherwell did. I'm not saying right now. I think that should have been done in the summer. I think there's just such a naivety of... We just have to have somebody who knows Scotland. We live in 2026 now, where managers can watch every single second of every single football game. You don't need to look at Ange Postecoglou coming out at Celtic. You don't need to know everything about Scottish football to be a good manager here. I think I've taken such a huge gamble after Stuart Kettlewell. If you think you maybe found the only Kelly fan who's positive about this, because the reaction online has been astonishing for a club who appointed a manager where they had the same reaction. You'd have thought maybe let's think of something that the fans maybe would be a bit more buying into. But it's, I mean, Robbie Nielsen, the name's mentioned, but, you know, I looked at, there's obviously some guys abroad, and I know Robbie Fowler was interviewed for it. That might bring a bit more of the, kind of, when Steven Gerrard at Rangers sort of thing, get a big name in. There are obviously other coaches around that could have applied for the job, but I also don't understand why it's taken so long. It should have probably been done. We should have had, if we had a proper structure in place, we would have known when Stuart Kettlewell went, the type of manager we want. And if that was Neil McCann and Billy Dodds, he should have been in 3 weeks ago. I think that's the fact it's taken this long to appoint quite a well-known name in Scotland. It just seems like it's not been thought fully through. And it's just really frustrating. But yeah, I'll reiterate that I really, really hope he proves me wrong. And he might at least bring a bit of fire to the team, because we seem to be lacking that. But obviously that can go both ways. That can turn against. But I really hope I'm wrong. But yeah, I fear we're going to head to the Championship again.
A ringing endorsement there from Simon on the line. Thank you to Simon for giving us his thoughts this evening. How are you two faring in this teaser? We're looking for the last 10 players to open the scoring in the last 10 Old Firm New Year derbies. It doesn't include own goals. And yeah, you've got Yang and Hadji, the last two.
Ryan Jack?
Yep.
Oh, good shout.
Josh Windass?
Nope.
No.
That wasn't a New Year one.
Bad shout.
You've not contributed any.
I've got a sore throat, I'm not on.
It's a bit problematic on a speech radio show. I mean, if it's the last 10, we're going back a bit.
Yeah.
For some of them, because.
Dembele?
No.
Lee McCulloch?
Nope. There's a famous one, 2011, I thought you would remember. I don't know why it's famous, actually. It's not that standout, but I think it was the only goal in the game as well. I thought this was up your street, this era, David Field.
2011.
This one's actually the end of 2011, so this is what he's talking about. It might not be the new year.
Right, okay.
So I'll give you some thinking.
Oh, right, okay.
Got it.
Joel Edley?
Yes, Joel Edley. I'll give you some thinking time.
You can join in whenever you want.
No,
we'll get the rest and build up to kick off at Ibrox when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final parts, 10 minutes or so to kick off at Ibrox. We will go back there ahead of the visit of Aberdeen. The teaser tonight is excluding own goals. Who scored the opener in the last 10 Old Firm New Year derbies? Yang, Yanis Hadji, Ryan Jack, Joe Ledley. You've got those four so far.
Ryan Kent.
Yes, in 2019, the end of 2019 that was.
Scott McDonald.
Yep, the start of 2010.
Am I keep going? Don't tell me Kenny Miller's in there.
He is.
Kenny's in every.
And dies in Maida.
Yes. Was that not the really quick one? Was that a New Year game, was it?
I think so.
Anyway, dies in Maida's on your list. So you've got two to get. We'll get them before the end of the show. John Paul is on in Cambus Lang. Hi, John Paul.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's all right. I just.
I'm a Celtic fan, but I'm a bit disillusioned by everything that's happened. But I think some of the stuff I've heard is just a wee bit kind of a bit too much. You know, like, I know the Motherwell manager is a good manager, etc. Right, but I've watched Celtic, but I think I'd rather have Sean Maloney in the summer than see if people go, you know, like, so you can get the Motherwell manager in the summer and stuff, even if that does eventually happen. But I'm quite happy with Mark Manil back, but I think people, we don't want another disaster. Celtic have already had a disaster. That's my opinion.
What makes you think the Motherwell manager would be a disaster?
Because everybody thinks people get a couple of months of good results and you think we'll get the new, you know, oh, it's going to be great. No, it doesn't work like that, in my opinion.
Oh, I think it certainly does. There's no guarantees. Nobody's pretending that, Gordon. And there's loads. But Jens Bertolascu, the level he's managed at so far, the fact that it is, you know, quite early, all that stuff.
But are you going to give somebody that's never managed a club that size, you give them loads of millions and all that money?
Has Sean Maloney hit the heights of management?
I think he's watching under a good hawk, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that's okay when you've got Martin O'Neill beside you.
Who's better than Martin O'Neill?
No, we're not, that's not the argument. I'm saying, has Sean Maloney hit the heights in management? So
no,
if Sean...
he's running under the best that Brian Clough did by him.
I think John Paul's point about James Bertolascu and the step up in terms, and we spoke about it earlier on the show, scrutiny, intensity, all that sort of stuff, I think it's a fair point, but I think it's also fair to say that the work he's done in the first 6 months at Motherwell is as impressive as any new manager coming into, what do you call, a provincial club in recent years, in terms of the way he's got them playing, where he's got them in the table, score goals, they don't concede many goals, so I think it's impressive. And look, we're not saying he's 100% going to be the next Celtic manager or anything like that, but he will go into a bigger club, John Paul, you know, whether that's Celtic or another club, he will go into bigger things because he's very, very good.
Gordon, back to you, David, for this one. We said earlier, can Martin O'Neill stay beyond the end of this season? The man himself, pretty much today, said doesn't think he'd have the energy for it. He's 74 in March, you know, doesn't see that as being an option. Is John Paul maybe onto something with a succession plan, though? If, let's say this season is, if this season is really successful, if, fans are going to want Martin O'Neill to stay.
Yes.
If that isn't realistic for everyone, does Sean Maloney then become the Celtic manager?
I think he'd be a contender. Again, I don't know if, you know, Gordon's talking about his own body of work. I think Sean, by all accounts, has made a very good impact on the players during that Martin O'Neill previous interim stint. Could he do 6 months under Martin, as John Paul says, learn from a guy of that experience and then step up and be the main man? I think it's a completely different job. I think what Sean has done very well under Martin O'Neill, and what I'm sure he will do, is be the man behind the scenes running things, but it's a different matter if you're stepping
Thank
up.
Thank you very much to John Paul. Let's go back to Ibrox and get a flavour of what's going on there with 7.5 minutes to be precise to kick off.
Yeah, you'd imagine there will be a really positive atmosphere at Ibrox tonight after that win against Celtic on Saturday, but we know how quickly that positivity can disappear in football. Danny Rowell and his players know they need to back that up with a win tonight, and it'll have the league table looking a lot better from a Rangers perspective if they do. Can they move 3 points ahead of Celtic? Can they move just 3 points behind Hearts? Sorry, can they take advantage of playing before both Celtic and Hearts as well and put a bit of pressure on in this title race? And can some of the players back up their performances from the weekend as well? I'm thinking of the likes of Youssef Chermiti, who bagged a couple of the goals, Mohamed Diamandé, who came off the bench and helped change the game in Rangers' favour. And there's a good Aberdeen travelling support here as well, despite that terrible weather in the northeast. They'll be hoping Peter Leven can bring some post-Jimmy Tilleen positivity to their side. 3 defeats in the last 4, now down to 8th in the table, and quickly fading from that top 5 that's starting to form. So they need to start picking up results quickly if they can salvage something from this season. Kickoff is about 7 minutes away.
Prediction for that one tonight, you two?
I think it'll be tight, but I think Rangers will win it.
I think Rangers will win 3-0.
Oh, so not tight for
you? Not at all.
Aberdeen not good enough at the moment?
I think they lack a lot, and I just think Rangers will get a real bounce from beating Celtic, and I think they'll be far too strong.
Okay, we'll find out. Right, you two, let's round off the teaser if we can. The last 10 players to open the scoring in an Old Firm New Year derby, doesn't include own goals: Yang, Hadji, Maeda, Kent, Jack, Miller, Ledley, McDonald. 2 to get.
Is it both?
Both Celtic. One was in 2023, but the end of 2023, and he's still there. Oh, don't like that silence.
Not McGregor, Forrest.
Similar department of the pitch, though.
Midfield.
Remember, a good goal, this one. Kind of cut, was it Celtic Park, sort of cut back and from a, maybe a corner or something.
Bernardo?
Yes.
Oh, we did.
And 2011, this guy scored both in the game. Celtic.
Giorgio Samaras.
There we go. Right, you go and rest up. I feel like you're not well. I feel like you're under
I'm
the weather.
I'm freezing in here.
It is quite chilly in here.
I bet you Andrew McLean at Ibrox is warmer than me.
Why is it so cold in here?
I have no idea. I'm getting outside for a heat.
Can any health and safety executives tell me about that temperature that it has to be above for your working conditions? Are we members of a trade union
ridiculous.
It's freezing.
If I'm in bed with the flu tomorrow, there's a claim getting in.
Anyway, we are back tomorrow and it will be a fascinating night. Rangers with the chance to go into second, 3 points clear of Celtic, who of course are now under Martin O'Neill once again. Unbelievable times in Scottish football. You can't take your eyes or ears off it. That's why we're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.